Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Go. It's nice and energizing. Come on, you could do some exercises, that lady.
Shall we?
Touch toes.
Woo!
Side bends. Good morning, good evening, whatever time of day it is. This is myself, Jenny Eclair, and my friend, who are you?
Judith Holder, I think, last time I looked.
Judith Holder, also known as Grey Pride UK.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well, that's your Twitter handle.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. It's always amused me, that phrase. I don't know that it's amused you as much as it amuses me.
No, yeah, you've always, since we've known each other, you've always wanted to call shows Grey Pride, and I've always sort of fobbed you back a bit. Anyway, we could have called the podcast Grey Pride.
We could, really.
We didn't, though. What did we call it? I can't remember.
Older and Wider.
That's right. I thought that
it's
was a funny
better,
yes,
it's probably say. Better.
That made me laugh. Older and wider, we are.
Oh, God, we're certainly wider as well, aren't we?
Well, I don't know why you're looking at me. I've been down the gym again.
Have you now?
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
Very good.
And Clyde, who runs the gaff. Well, Clyde is one of the people that runs the gaff. You know, he's so fit and so... I'm not sort of saying sexually fit or anything like that, but he's very obviously very exercised.
Yeah.
And he's Irish. I can't hear a word he says. Not a word. That is not a long
time.
Yes, Clyde. No, Clyde.
So is this your personal trainer?
No, but he's sort of... I think he's taking a personal interest in me.
Oh, that's, likely story.
Only because... of the class, I'm the least fit, and I think what he'd really like me to do is attach my T-shirt to the emergency pull section on the machine. You know, they have those for the sort of potential heart attack victims.
Yes, quite.
So when I say Clyde takes a personal interest in me, Clyde just doesn't want me dying on the premises.
So he has to keep an eye on you all
the time. He hovers around me, yeah.
Like some under teacher's nose where he can see
it's
you.
It's a bit,
at the front.
I'm slightly special measures.
Special needs.
Yeah.
Special.
I'm in that sort of bit of the class where, you know, you've got an assistant comes in and, you know. Okay, so what I do, Judith, I go to, it's only 30 minutes, a 30-minute cardio class.
I like the idea it's 30 minutes.
You watch the clock and it's going backwards, I have
to
say.
Of course it is.
But you can break it down into bite-sized pieces.
Okay.
So I do 10 minutes on the bike, you know, the exercise bike.
Yeah. To music?
To music.
Very
awful,
good.
Awful. But now and again, I sort of get into a disco groove and sort of, you know, nod along.
Lose yourself.
I lose myself.
Do you?
Just for a second.
Once or twice.
Most of the time I go, God, I hate this track. And then now and again I go, oh no, do you remember the 80s? Bit of disco, this is fine. and then they play some Michael Jackson. I get all confused and I think, I don't know whether we should be listening to Michael Jackson anymore.
Oh,
and then
yes,
I get a bit, you know, distracted.
I know
and
what
I'm,
you mean.
I'm on the cross trainer at this and I'm getting quite cross because we're listening to Michael Jackson, the paedophile. Mm-hmm. And then for the last 10 minutes, oh, it's such a relief to get on the treadmill. Just. Because I cheat on the treadmill. They can't see what gradient you're on.
Really?
Because it doesn't tilt. You know the treadmill?
Yes.
When you change the gradient, it doesn't actually, you know, it doesn't start sloping.
Doesn't it?
It's not visible to the eye.
Oh, clever.
So
you work that out. God, you are. That's a clever bit of cheating,
Yeah, I'm a bit of a gym expert now.
Did you used to copy girls' work in school?
Only for
and
my
get
11
away with
plus.
It?
Only for my... Le- I,
was she only for your 11 plus?
Well, I knew that my mother really wanted me to get into the grammar school when my sister went.
Of course.
But she was really worried because a couple of months before the 11 plus, I went to the Sandhills with my friend Susan, Gillian and Jane. I think there was the four of us. I'm not too sure. And we were exposed to by a dirty old man in a Mac on the Sandhills.
Were you?
Yes. There was this man who said, do you want to see my puppies?
And, sorry, that's not funny. That's terrible.
Well, I know. So we went over to have a look at the puppies.
Oh.
And there weren't. He just had his cock out.
Oh, dear.
And I went home. And we were sort of hysterical about this. And my house was nearest. So we went home and I... We saw. Did you guys saw this man? Did he got his willy out and he showed us his willy? And my mother was absolutely furious.
I bet she was.
You know, she's a bit disabled. Otherwise, she'd have gone marching off to the sandhills and she'd have taken the part with her bare hands. But anyway, she phoned the police. Gosh, and it all got quite heavy.
Right. No, well, quite right.
And the police kept taking. As around in police cars trying to sort of to the place where we'd been exposed to see if we could see him again. Of course, I was in the car with these a couple of policemen and there were these girls crying in the car park and the police sussed that it was probably an incident similar to mine and they
really
and they went racing onto the sand dunes and I remember them walking him off the dunes and this just really broken middle-aged man who'd been caught and then there were these girls crying in the car park and I was loving it, of course, you know, centre of attention,
the drama.
I thought, I hope I'm in the paper. But I always remember the point of this story. My mother said to my father when this had happened, and I was, you know, I spent a lot of my time eavesdropping on my parents.
Did you?
Yeah, on anybody, reading my sister's diary, eavesdropping.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I was, and so I was outside in the landing, and I'll tell you another thing I used to do outside in the landing, which is really rude, but anyway. And I overheard my mother say to my father, if Jenny fails her 11 plus, I shall know why. It's because she's been traumatised by the incident on the sand.
She had an excuse ready, didn't she?
She absolutely did.
She got it ready.
Cast
standing
iron
by.
Alibi.
She was going to be up at that school saying, now look here.
I want her to have some extra points because she was traumatised by having a willy waved in her face.
It's the way motherhood works, isn't
it?
Yeah. Instantly get you in the fast stream.
Excuse. So I just thought, well, I've got that one in the bag.
Yeah.
So,
but
when it came to the day of the 11 plus, I thought, I really can't upset my mum. You know, she's been through a lot. And so I was sitting behind Melanie Siborne, who's a girl with beautiful red hair and a creamy, the colour of white magnolias. You know, the ones that have just
lovely.
Been out.
Freckly? Was she freckly?
No, cream, just cream magnolia skin. Anyway, she had a slightly sloping shoulder. I could see over her sloping shoulder.
Could you? Yeah. Could you really?
I wasn't as short-sighted
was
as
she
I
bright
am
as well as being beautiful?
She was quite a clever girl.
She
and
would
I,
be.
I wasn't exactly cheating, Judith. I was just checking.
Were you?
Yeah. And I'd sort of do some answers and I'd have a quick look over Melanie's sloping shoulder and see that she'd done the same. And I think, no, that's
it
probably
okay.
right.
Right, we're on the right lines.
Did you cheat
fantastic
for your 11 plus?
No, of course I didn't cheat.
Did you pass?
Yeah, of course I did. I had tuition, though.
Did
my
you?
My parents were, well, yeah, obviously thought, no, we're not going to take any chances with this.
I didn't know tuition existed back in your day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this man used to come every Saturday morning and with this funny exercise book, you know. Do you remember all that? It was all multiple choice, wasn't it? Or a lot of it was?
A lot of it was, yes.
The algebra
I never
was really
had,
difficult.
My mother wouldn't have stood for any extra tuition.
Why not?
She'd have said, well, if you're thick, you go to the comprehensive.
Would she?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was harsh of her. Anyway, I want to go back to the landing. What else did you do on the landing?
I used to, when I was very young, I found a method of masturbating in the landing. No, in the hallway. Right. So this, I must have discovered this when I was about 11, you know, when you're just sort of starting to realise there's things going on. I realised I could bring myself to orgasm from a very early age by climbing up the banister rail.
No.
Yeah. I used to do it all the time. I couldn't wait for my parents to go out. I genuinely couldn't. And I'd go in other people's houses and go, well, that looks like a good banister rail. And this went on until my last house, you know, when I had a four-storey Georgian house at one point. There were loads of banister rails. I had sort of two widths to choose from.
Good heavens, my mouth is open.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, no, we've all found a method.
No, wait a minute. There's a lot I want to ask you about this. Well, first of all, I'm very impressed that you managed to do this so early on. 11.
Well, maybe I was 12.
It's been ages.
Oh, really? Well, you know, you were sort of born in a different era to me and maybe there wasn't quite so much.
Oh, come off it.
Well, it's 5 years. 5 years older than me. Maybe there wasn't quite so much information about masturbation. I'm
maybe
talking
not.
About,
maybe
you know,
not.
My sort of when I was 12 coincided with Cosmopolitan banging on about orgasms.
Yeah, yeah.
All
that
the
was
time.
The holy grail, wasn't it?
Yeah, as soon as you
it took
could...
me ages. I was about 18.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't have an orgasm with anything but a banister rail for a very long time.
Oh,
I can
see.
Tell you that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'd sort of, there were certain sexual encounters, and I think, well, I can't wait to get back to my banister rail.
I should never look at a banister in the same way again.
Well, sometimes I go to the stately home and I think, well, it's a nice staircase, but that banister is too wide. You're never going to get purchase on that. So you went to grammar school, I went to grammar school. What was your school uniform like?
It was maroon, and we had maroon stripy shirts and sort of gym slips, really, I think. You know, those kind of things. So you had to
like
wear
a pinafore.
A pinafore, yeah. Grey.
Yes.
And I can remember the colour now, beautiful cardigans, actually, of this sort of deep kind of maroon.
A plum-coloured cardigan that went with the stripe in the shirt.
Yes, yeah. And then I've just remembered what the summer dresses were like. Oh, that's just flooded back to me. I haven't thought about them for years. Dog tooth, maroon and white, with a kind of collar and a horrible belt and I think pockets and buttons down the front. They were vile.
Well, I mean, it was every good girl's school to sort of make you as asexual as possible to any passing male.
What was yours like?
Well, brown.
Dog shit
brown. Yeah.
With a bit of gold or mustard in it, or just relentless brown?
More or less relentless. Brown, we went crimpline as well. There was a moment where the uniform went from quite a nice gabardine brown skirt to a crimpline.
I remember the guide uniform doing that.
Yes.
Same thing. It was never
probably
the same.
In the 70s when man-made fabrics and drip dry suddenly became
very popular.
So what
did you have that was crimpline?
Well, there was a crimpline skirt and then there was a nylon shirt which was beige. With a cream stripe in it and the smell of BO.
I bet.
In our school.
I bet.
Because you've just got hundreds of girls sweating.
Oh, I can picture it.
In man-made fibres.
And did it all snag? Did your skirt snag?
Yes, so you've got a little thread that come out.
Oh, dear, that was a bad look, wasn't it?
And then there'd be a little tank top as well that was... And that was okay. That was in an okay sort of wool, though it wasn't real wool. It was artificial, nylon mix.
Yeah.
But it was a little turtle... And it was sleeveless and it had little pockets. So that was quite nice.
Yeah.
That was
And a blazer? Do you have a blazer?
Oh, we had a blazer with a brown blazer, obviously, so the boys wouldn't want to ravish us. Brown blazer with an embroidered marigold on the pocket, breast pocket.
Quite nice.
And the Latin motto, Semper Parata.
Oh, well done.
Semper,
what does that mean?
Fidelis. Always ready. Always faithful.
Very good. And that,
yes, which brings us back to the banister rail. and then, hat-wise.
Yes.
Bowler hat.
Yes, we had a bowler hat too.
Bowler hat no hat in the summer, bowler hat in the winter, and then in the sixth form, a felt pillbox.
Oh, like
fucking
an air
ridiculous.
Hostess. Oh, no, I'd have wanted one of those.
Well,
I bet that was,
wow. I think it had come from that sort of Jackie O kind of era.
Oh, yes.
But by the 70s, when, we were all sort of into David Bowie and stuff, it was wrong.
Yeah.
It was wrong. I preferred the bowler.
Did you have the deputy headmistress, as we did, that stood at the school gates checking uniform as you came in?
No, I had my sister, didn't I? I had my sister who was a head girl.
Was the head girl?
Oh, of course she was. Our Sarah was born to be head girl.
Wow.
As soon as she came out of the womb, it was like with the head girl quality. My mother looked at her and thought, well, there's the head girl.
Did you ever steal her badge and put it on?
I came home, my mum, she's not the head girl. I've got one of them. This one's trouble.
So you were always going to be the naughty one, weren't you?
Slightly. It was a bit, destiny was... Well, you're an only child, so your character has been totally undiluted by having a sibling. This is a thing I totally believe in. I think people are affected by
the dynamics.
Siblings and dynamics and older sisters, younger brothers. But you are just you. Nobody's rubbed you off or affected you anyway. You are Judith to the bone.
Yeah, I don't quite know how to answer that, really. I mean, as an only child, of course, you don't know. How could I know what would have happened or what that means?
Would you have liked a brother or a sister?
Oh, desperately. Desperately I wanted a brother and a sister. I wanted a sister. I never really wanted a brother much. But no, I think
but
I desperately wanted...
But sisters don't really like you.
No,
apart from my mum and her sister are really, really close, right? I went up to visit my mum a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I've not had an exciting time, I have to say. But I enjoy going to see my mother because she does make me laugh. Although... Oh, God, it's exhausting with a fucking iPad, I tell you. I've just managed, because, she's had her cataract ops and she, for some reason, has not recovered well. Most people, 99% of people who have cataract ops have really fantastic results.
Mm.
My mother's eyes, months on, are still swollen and she still can't read
both
small
of them.
Print.
Both of them.
Both of them, yeah. So this means that, please, may I just say at this point here, can we make a plea for microwave meal companies to think about the elderly when they are designing their packaging? Because what you've got, there's one, and it was like yellow print on a fawn background.
Oh, for goodness
sake. You can't see a thing. You want big black
bold. You do,
bold.
Actually. That's a very, very good point.
It's just, it was, I found it really frustrating, and I found it a real eye-opener as well, what a battle it is. Everything. You can't read anywhere. I managed to get Audible.
Oh, good,
iPad.
Did you? Well done.
Oh, it was a battle. I don't think I'll enjoy that. Well, why don't you try it? Why don't you have a listen? You know, well, I think it's very expensive. How much did you spend on a book a month? All that sort of thing. So, but she and her sister, my mother's 90 next month and her sister's 93.
Right.
They are two peas in a pod. They are so close and they see each other as much as they possibly can. I mean, it is a really beautiful relationship. And my dream is that they live together. I'd love that to happen.
Yeah, what a good idea. And I was sorry, carry on.
I was just discussing it with my sister, and she said, and I said, can you imagine us two living together? She said, it had to be, you know, I said, getting a flat together in old days. She said, it'd have to be a fucking big flat.
So have you not got closer to her as you've got
older? Yes, and I love my sister, but she's a difficult woman. Yes. And I think she thinks the same about me, but she's wrong. Mm.
Right. I mean, we're all difficult, aren't we, as we get older? Come on, I'm difficult, you're difficult. But here's where I envy you.
Okay.
Is that you will always have, because you've got two siblings, a connection back to your past and your parents. When your mum goes, you will have...
Don't ever say that, because my mum is not going anywhere.
Oh, okay, right, okay. But you, but you will always have, won't you, that connection back to your childhood. And as an only child, that is the worst bit, actually. I think that is the worst bit, is that now I, you know, as
you're
an
the only
as
one
an
with
orphan,
those memories.
Yes. And OK, I've got cousins that do remember various things, but just very, very particular, stupid, little things that a sibling would remember and we could, you know, bond over is not possible. That's
sitting in the back of the car with your siblings going on holiday, that sort of thing.
Whatever, just the tiny details of why you did things, why something happened or what order it happened in or, you know, just... You know, all the minutiae that's gone that would be there if I had a sibling.
I'm just trying to appreciate mine a bit better now.
Well, and I do think as you get older, you will actually.
Well, no,
and you get on really well with your brother, don't you?
I'm really glad my sister lives on the same road as me, and I really love that. I like going past her house and thinking, I could knock on the door and have a cup of tea, but I can't be bothered at the moment.
No, but that might change.
No, we are. I love her. Mm. I do love her. We went on the march together. We're very good marching buddies, my sister and I, because, you know, we're both very staunch Remainers. So when it comes to a sort of political rally, my sister and I...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, but she's much fitter than me. So, you know, when the march is finished and I'm ready to get a bus, she goes, oh, well, listen, we might as well keep walking, just walk over the bridge. We could actually walk home. I think, for fuck's sake, Sarah.
So how did she change you then? You said you began this by saying
because she was born head girl and with those... And clever as well. I think that I automatically moulded myself into the naughty, not clever one. And I was about 30 when I realised I had a brain.
Well, because you're very bright too.
Well, vaguely bright. But before that, I just thought that I could occupy this sort of silly slag position and just sort of get
because
off
the other one
boys.
Was taken. You thought, clever, bossy, you know, big achieving, that's gone,
I
that's
can just
ticked.
Be fun. I can be pretty and fun.
Right, interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're right that subconsciously you do that. You find, you know, you shake, that your kind of role in a family dynamic sort of shakes down, doesn't it?
Yes.
And certainly with the girl, you know, with our two, Sienna is the... I suppose in a way, a bit like Sarah, the sort of, you know, the kind of contemplative, confident, high achieving, sort of very academic. And then, yes, there is a sense also in which Ellen, the second born, is...
You probably took the pressure off as well. I think when you're a young mother with the first child, you push and push and push. Second comes along, you go, oh, I can't be bothered to do all that again.
Absolutely. No, the sibling rivalry between our two was so bad.
Oh, brilliant. No,
it was so bad. I remember going to Disneyland.
Well, you should never take that to Disneyland.
And in America. And we saw, and Sienna was tiny and Ellen was toddler. And we saw this wishing well.
Yeah.
And I said to Sienna, oh, look, it's a wishing well. How lovely, you know. Should we make a wish? And she said, oh, I don't know what I could wish for, really. And I said, well, why don't you wish to be happy? That's a lovely thing to wish for, isn't it? And she said, I could never do that. I said, why not? She said, Ellen's alive.
Oh, God, that's good.
Not even Ellen's annoying.
No, Ellen's alive. And while she draws
she's
breath.
She's still alive.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's brilliant. Well done. Listen, we've got another guest. We're doing well for guests now.
We are doing well for guests.
Yeah, people are sort of scratching the door going, can I be on your podcast?
Well,
can I be
on your podcast?
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet, but, you know, in our dreams. But we've got a fabulous guest. I used to work with this woman on Loose Woman. Loose woman, loose women. There were loads of them. There's
that
been
changes
them.
The meaning of it quite badly somehow. I don't know
well,
why.
You know, I was, and but I got sacked. We know why, but we don't need to go into that now. And she wasn't this one, Andrea McLean. She's never been sacked from it. She's still
there.
Is she
still on it?
Yeah.
Is she?
We'll ask her what the secret is to staying on Loose Women.
I think that'd be very interesting.
I didn't have the secret. Anyway, we've had a lovely chat, so we'll continue having a lovely chat.
Can we
with
have
Andrea.
Some lunch now? I'm desperate for my lunch.
I've got
now.
An egg sandwich. What have you got?
I've got a wrap, and I've got a bit of flapjack with some icing on.
You're
not having half.
I don't want
you
it.
You are not having half.
I'm not a pudding girl. Don't do sweets.
No, you're not. Anyway, I'm just saying that you're not having half. And I've got an apple, which I can't be asked.
Can I have the apple?
Yeah, you can have the apple. I don't know. What is it? You put that sort of stuff in your bag, don't you? Think, well, that's a good idea, but it's the last thing I'll eat. You can have it. You can have
it's
it.
It's a good apple,
welcome.
I'll have it. It's, okay. It's not homemade
apple.
Oh, now
you're getting choosy.
It's not from the orchard, is it?
Now you're getting... No, of course it is.
Thank God for that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She's just walked in. Well, she's a vision, isn't she, Judy?
She is. She's very, very glamorous and very skinny, and she's got a lovely handbag that she's just put on the floor that I already covered.
And well, maybe you could hook it with your foot and sort of
nick
it.
I was thinking that. You can keep her talking.
Andrea McLean, you're looking very good. What's going on? Why have you managed this? How?
Well, I've come straight from work.
Oh, so you've had a crack team of expert makeup artists at Loose Women Studios working on your face.
Yeah. I literally
you've been broadcasting to the nation
I have.
Before here.
Mm.
And then I literally arrive at Loose Women looking like a battered old, clapped out old, I don't know, Mini or Fiat, whatever.
Fiat Panda.
Yes, and then I go into one of these magic smoke-filled rooms, a bit like tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be, and then they do amazing things in there, and I come out looking like this.
You actually, they do physical airbrushing, don't they?
Yes.
Live. They sort of have
what?
Well, it's a foundation base, and it gets sprayed on your face.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Not just daubed on with fingers.
No.
Right.
No. Not for the likes of us. No.
No, it's all molecular.
Yeah. What happens? What? So it sort of settles on like a kind of, well, like a car, literally like spraying a car.
Spray painting a
car.
Exactly
like spray painting a car. You see?
Well, why can't you do that sort of, why can't you go to Debenhams and buy that?
Is that my phone?
Oh, is that me? Oh,
God. Oh, it's Andrea McLean.
Did you expect more? That's his ring.
From a professional. You can take this call. You can take
it. Can I take it?
Hi, my lovely.
Hello, you are live on a podcast. Do not swear.
I wasn't sure if you were there or not yet. Hello,
you can swear.
Bugger.
There you go. Nice one. Well done.
Sorry, my phone rang right in the middle, so I've called you back. Is everything all right? You lost?
No, I'm outside. I'm just finding parking. So,
There's loads of parking. It's all right. Just go round by the school.
Did you hear that?
I've just gone round by the school and I've just found someone to park.
There you go.
All good.
And you know, it's cheaper than you'd imagine near Notting Hill Gate. You get quite a few hours for a couple of quid. It's
brilliant, isn't it?
Well, that's ideal. I may even pay the park.
We might just live in the car, be cheaper than the house. I'm going to say goodbye now, Nick.
Bye-bye now, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Bye.
He's very good-natured, isn't he, Nick?
He's lovely.
You've been very lucky.
Eventually.
Yeah, how many did it take you to find him?
Three goes.
He's the third?
He's my third go.
Right.
Third time lucky.
Yes.
Starts to get a bit careless after two, in my view, but, you know. Yeah.
They weren't full-on marriages, too. Was it a third marriage, this
Oh,
one?
Yes. Yes, full-on. Yes.
Oh, have you kept all the dresses?
No.
I had to think.
I can't remember whether I ripped them up and burnt them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I did. I've kept this one.
I should think so too, and I bet can still get into it. How annoying. Andrea, I know you from Loose Women,
yes.
Where you are sort of one of the anchor ladies.
I am, yes. Longest serving.
Extra penance.
Yes, I've been there non-stop for 12 years.
You've seen us come, you've seen us go. I remember working with you, and you were always the nicest.
I still am, yes.
But it hasn't spoilt you. I mean, it's a good, fun job, and it's a nice job. Anyway, we're not talking about Loose Women now, because you are unshackled by that, yep. And a writer in your own right. And we want to talk about the publication of your menopause book came out a year ago, but you've just had the paper book paperback out.
The paperback has just come out. Came out last week. And what I love about a paperback is... When you write, and you'll know this, when you write a book, you spend so long, obviously, coming up with the whole idea in the first place, and then pitching it, and then sort of putting it all together. And then you've created this thing that you hope is as perfect as it can be. And in my case, obviously, it was part memoir. Obviously, there's a doctor involved to make sure that medically everything was covered.
Is this Confessions of a Menopausal Woman?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And then you kind of release it into the wild and hope that it will soar. The good thing about a paperback is you already know how it's gone down, and then you're able to talk about that. So for me, I was so happy that at least one...
You get a second bite of the cherry.
You do, but also you can say to people, you're not just hoping people like it, you can say, this book has changed lives, this book has saved marriages, this book has got a conversation started nationally, whereas obviously when you release it first time around, you don't know whether that's going to happen or not. Whereas now, I feel that I can sort of hold it up and go, this has been tried and tested, so give it a go as a paperback.
Talk us through your menopause.
Okay, well, I started the early symptoms of the menopause at 38.
Oh, that is early.
So, yeah, it was early. But my mum went through it at 40, so it wasn't something that I was particularly surprised at. Mm. What I was surprised at was getting pregnant. But that can happen. In the last sort of...
Last drop of eggs.
Yeah, do you know, that's literally it. Your body goes, come on, I don't know when this is going to happen again. And I got pregnant.
So, for the second time, you'd already had your son.
Yes, then I had Amy. Mm-hmm. And so she was a lovely, unexpected gift, because I didn't expect that to happen. I had to have fertility treatment, and it was quite grueling to end up getting pregnant the first time around. So this, I just literally, I had vodka rather than Clomid.
Bonus baby.
Yeah, definitely. So then I was 42 when the symptoms started again in earnest. And that was all your sort of normal ones that people would have heard
about.
There's
so many, aren't there? I mean, that you can put under the umbrella of normal.
Yeah, 34 symptoms.
Did you have all 34?
Pretty much, yeah.
Blimey.
I know, I was...
It's a tick list, isn't it?
It's a tick list. Mainly sweating and angry, which are the ones that most people have heard of. So that was a sort of normal route, and I was taking very low doses of HRT to kind of tide me over. But then I've had a lifelong endometriosis, which had been gradually getting more and more painful as I got older, until it got to a point where I could barely function. Not only was I starting the menopause, but I was doubled over with endometriosis. It was just awful.
Am I being thick here? Because I would have thought that the symptoms of endometriosis would stop when you became menopausal. Is that not the case?
I suppose, I don't really know, really. I suppose that the whole thing about the menopause is your hormone levels dropping off. Mm. And yes, endometrial pain is because of a rush of hormones, obviously, in the area. So clearly I still had some left and they were all just running to one place. But what was this? And I also had cysts on my ovaries and it was decided, right, clearly nothing's really working very well down there. You've had children and as long as you're happy with this. I was 46 then. Let's give you a full hysterectomy. So that meant ovaries as well. So I went into full surgical menopause, which it's literally like falling off a cliff. So a normal menopause would take about 12 years to sort of gradually your levels would decline. Yeah. And it's pretty awful. And you have all the symptoms. With a surgical menopause, you'd literally fall off a cliff.
And so you wake up from the operation and you, how did you feel? Was it a psychological thing or a physical thing, first and foremost?
Well, for me, in terms of waking up, I don't react very well to general anaesthetic, so it was a pretty horrible 48 hours.
Was it quite a big operation as
it's
well, the
huge,
full
hysterectomy?
Yeah. So how many weeks do they give you to get better from that? Is it about six?
Okay. Yeah, so I had 6 weeks off. And mentally, I'd got my head around the fact that this was a necessary thing, so that was okay. Physically, I thought, right, I'll keep an eye on my symptoms and I will maybe increase my HRT. Because the HRT that I was on and I'm still on now, it's called transdermal, which means it's a gel. So you put
me
on
too.
And it's so much better, isn't it?
You can well, I'm on a very bog standard combination. Judith went to cold turkey. She just got through it.
Wow.
She bit down hard on a piece of leather.
Wow.
But I couldn't cope, not because of the physical symptoms, which I really wasn't that bothered by.
Yeah.
But for me, it was huge anxiety and anger, the anger that you mentioned.
Anxiety and anger, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm on a combination of Noriday, which is like a birth control pill, and not that I need it, and a gel that I rub into my thigh or my arm.
Yes.
And that is an Easter gel
kind
of thing.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
That's a sort of, did you go and have your hormones bio, what's it called?
Bioidentical.
Yes.
Mine are plant-based. So mine come from yam. For me, it's an ongoing thing. So although physically after 6 weeks I was kind of better, really I should have had more time off. I was very wobbly. I was like I was like a bit like Bambi on ice when I first went back to work. I could sit still and do the show, but I got tired very, very easily. But obviously, I'm 50 this year, so it was a few years ago now that I had it. But even now, I still have bumps in the road, and I have to. I kind of take myself in hand and think, okay, my levels are clearly wobbling a little bit.
But you're in a very exposing profession as well, because, you know, if you're dealing with menopausal symptoms, you know, as most women will at some point, most people aren't dealing with them on national television in high definition.
Yeah.
With a
they
camera.
Can see your sweat.
Yeah. And you did suffer from the sweating, didn't you?
Yeah.
There's a story in the book about what you used to stop the sweating.
And do you know what's really funny is that the headlines, mainly written by men, who could not get their head around the fact that a woman would put sanitary towels under her armpits to stop herself sweating. That's disgusting.
Really? It's the most effective way of dealing with it.
It completely works, and also it was told to me by a wardrobe lady who said they use it on men, especially men who are hosting like sports programs and this sort of thing, because obviously the sweat would show through on their shirts.
It's a really practical idea, isn't it?
Totally. And we're not talking about, you know, the kind of nighttime really chunky mattressy type. We're talking about the little daily panty liners. It's such a brilliant idea, especially if you're wearing silk or one.
And do you attach them to the inside of the garment?
Yeah, or
Because they've got the sticky stuff as well, haven't they? They're absolutely ideal.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great idea.
Brilliant.
And also, you know, if any women listening, if you're, you know, if you're at work or something, it doesn't matter what you do, and you can feel yourself getting hot, you feel embarrassed, you don't feel very confident. If you know that it's all right, most of it is going to get caught in this and it's all going to be okay, you just feel better. And it doesn't even matter whether you're not menopausal or not. It's a really top tip.
It is. It's a very, very good one.
Working on a program like Loose Women, did it give you... did you feel like at least at work you were in a safe space where you could have these symptoms and tell your bosses and that sort of thing.
Yeah. What is so great about the, you know, a show like Loose Women is, I don't know, you are allowed to be completely
honest
and open, and everyone just accepts it. Whereas if it was a different type of program, or even if it was just a different job, I'm not sure that people would have necessarily been as receptive. Obviously, I work with a lot of women, and I work with a lot of gay men, so there's a very different sort of atmosphere, yeah, and vibe and that sort of thing. So no, everyone was great, and also so many women of a certain age, so everyone had sort of stories, yeah, that were either top trumps in terms of, well, my menopause is worse than your menopause, which is always good, or, you know, where's a great place to buy fans? Amazon, apparently, it's very good.
But you've always been very fit. So Tumble was a gymnastics program before the menopause.
Yeah.
And after you'd had your op, were you very keen to be able to get back into your exercise routine? How did you handle that?
For me, exercise is something that I do for my head rather than my bum. And being fitter and in terms of how it looks on the outside is a really good side effect. But actually, I find that even if it's just going for a walk, a really brisk walk.
Do you have dogs, Andrew? Do you?
My dog sadly just died.
Oh, sorry.
It's completely fine. So yes, going for a dog walk is a brilliant idea. And we're in the process of looking for another dog. And, you know, a lot of women go, oh, but I don't like going to the gym, or I don't like whatever. That isn't what exercise is all about. Exercise can be putting your anorak on and literally just go for a stomp, go for a walk and just release. For me, I'm at the moment I'm training to do a 10K run for charity, as I've never done anything like this before. Something crazy has happened to me since this is my 50th year, is I'm saying yes.
You've become
to things.
Reckless.
So reckless. It's so liberating.
Tell us about the jumping out of the plane thing. This,
yes.
What was it? What's the program called?
It's called SAS Who Dares Wins.
Right. And what's the conceit behind this?
Basically, this is the first time they've ever done it with celebrities. It's on Channel 4. And basically, the premise of the program is it's 4 ex-SAS men who basically scare the living daylights out of normal people who want to see if they're capable of going through SAS training, which 99.9% of the world isn't. So your
Do
chances
get
of
knocked
getting
out
through are very
every
slim.
Week. Is it a sort of competitive thing?
No, you don't get knocked out. You either, it's called VW, where you voluntarily withdraw.
Okay.
Your name is taken away. You become just a number. And you can either withdraw or something terrible will happen to you and you'll hurt yourself and get carted off. But
what
no,
have they made you they, do so far?
Well, we filmed it a few months ago, but what has gone out so far was you get abducted.
Oh, God.
Which is just as ghastly as it sounds. I was so scared.
Where were you?
We were in Chile. They took us out to Chile. We had 3 days acclimatizing because it's quite high and it was very cold. And then we got put in a boat, and then we were driven around, and then we landed somewhere, and then we were kind of dragged off, and then they whipped the hoods off, and then this helicopter appeared over our heads, and they went, look at the helicopter. And so we looked at the helicopter, and it was over the lake, and then this man came out of the helicopter, and he crossed his arms, and he fell backwards head first into a lake, and we all went, oh my God, I'm going to have to do that. And we did.
Why wouldn't they let you jump face forward and straight down?
No, but that's the point. I haven't seen the celebrity version, but I saw the civilian version. And that is kind of the point. It's like they've sort of invented the scariest version of whatever it is they're getting you to do,
yeah,
haven't they? But they know that falling backwards
horrible.
Is so counterintuitive. Surely you wanted to back out, didn't you?
No, not at that point. To be honest, I knew what I was letting myself in for because I'd seen the show.
Yeah.
But what you don't take into account, and I think as well, I've worked in live TV for 22 years now. So I'm used to stressful situations, and I thought, okay, I'm used to people barking instruction and taking on board lots of things at once. I'll be all right. But nothing prepares you for how scared you are when you're so out of control and you're literally just doing as you're told. And so all I did was think... clearly they won't want us to die, so they won't ask us to do something that they don't think that we are capable of. Yeah. So I just trusted them and did what they told.
That's a big leap of trust.
But I think that yes, happens.
Huge. It's a head first leap of trust. Really,
well, who else is doing it with you?
Right. So there were 12 celebrities.
Yeah.
So it's the first time that celebrities had ever taken part. And
so glad
also,
I didn't get this call. Also, I'm so skint at the moment. I probably have to have done it.
Oh, no, it was for free.
Was oh, God in heaven. Well, what is the point?
Kidding. Oh, it was for free. It was for Stand Up To Cancer.
Oh, I see. Of course.
So we did it for
it's
that.
It's not Stand Up To Cancer. It's fall backwards down. On your head for cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So who was it? Well, I was the oldest person. I'm the oldest person to have ever done SAS Who Dares Win. So I'm
Are
quite
you?
Proud of that. And I'm oldest by quite a long way.
I am so in awe of you doing that.
Did you cry
I really
beforehand?
Am.
I cried before, during and after.
I
cried a lot.
I bet you did.
That's not the only scary thing that you're going to be doing this year.
I know.
2019 also sees you taking your own one-woman show out, which is called...
Confessions of a Menopausal Woman.
Which is matches the title of the book.
Yeah.
But you've also got a podcast as well called This Girl's on Fire.
Yeah.
Which, we love
which is a
that
great
title.
Thank
Fantastic
you.
Fantastic title. Well done.
Thank you. Well, it's a website. It's thisgirlsonfire.co.uk. And we're just putting together a podcast, which is obviously linked to the website. The website came about after I'd finished writing the book, because I'm a journalist by trade, so I wrote the book myself, and obviously I'd got in touch with the many, many women who'd reached out to me when they heard about the hysterectomy and everything else. And then I thought, I've written it now. I don't want to stop the conversation. I've started something. So basically thought, how can I keep this going? We'll start a website. So we called it This Girl Is On Fire to sort of celebrate the fact that even though I'm in my middle years, I'm still great. I'm still on fire. And also I'm having a hot flash and I'm literally raging.
You're going to continue with
yes.
these women whilst being on tour.
Yes.
How long is the tour?
I've got 6 dates.
That's a starter tour, isn't it? That's
yeah.
to see whether you like it.
Yes. It's and to what? See whether I can do it as well. It
oh,
comes right under the whole thing of, you know, turning 50, right, do things that challenge you, say yes to things that you might normally think, oh, I'm not sure about that. So that's why I've thought
And what's the
I'm
format of it? What happens on stage?
Well, it's just me.
Right.
And one of the things I'm really looking forward to is getting a word in.
Oh, you're not fighting off all the other
no.
loose women.
It's called Confessions of a Menopausal Woman, obviously because the book is called that and... you know, it sort of ties in with it. We will be talking about the menopause, but it is not all things menopause. Obviously, I've got 20-odd years of telly gossip to mm-hmm. try and cram in, because I do have, you know, some behind-the-curtains stories to tell.
You do realise that the tabloids will be coming to watch you, and if you let anything too juicy
yeah.
out, they will publish it.
Yeah.
Does that bother you?
No.
Good.
No.
You just sold 100 million more tickets.
She didn't have to think about that, did she? She didn't have to think about that for a second.
No, I'm not bothered at all. And I think again, I don't care so much.
What is your relationship like with the tabloids these days?
It's all right. I mean, I've always been very honest. So, I don't really have any worries in terms of anybody hearing me say something or
but
seeing
me do anything.
But isn't
this a wonderful, isn't this one of the positive signs of the menopause, is that you do mm. get to a stage where you don't really mind what people think of you?
Yes.
And what I'm hearing from you is yeah, I don't mind anymore. No, I'm going to go for it. And,
yeah.
you know, and on all sorts of levels.
Yeah, and Jenny, I'm a thoroughly nice woman, but I've
it's
always
not what
been...
she said before you...
Really?
No.
She nicked a 20 quid note out of my purse once. I remember that.
But I've spent a lot of my time worrying. Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Oh, God, what if that makes people cross? And, oh, I better not say that. And what if? And now I think, you know, I've had my what ifs. I've lived through some incredibly dark and difficult times in my life that I've, you know, kept to myself because they're personal and what have you. Yes, I'm now on my third marriage, but third time lucky. But... I now don't care so much about what people think.
And
you know,
that's very liberating, isn't it?
It's actually
yeah,
brilliant.
It is.
But
it
has to happen organically.
I tell you what, though, I'd much rather do that on stage, be liberated on stage, than stand on the brink of a helicopter and throw himself backwards. You know. So give us your tour dates and then we'll let you go because your lovely husband is waiting for
you.
He's
in reception. Yeah. No. Okay, the 2nd of May, I'm going to be at Chipping Norton Theatre.
Oh, lovely.
Are you guys going to come and see me then?
It's a bit far from me. She's
yes,
quite
I'm
close.
Like, well, because I'm quite local. Brilliant.
I know South East London. You must be joking, darling.
Oh, okay. And then it's going through Birmingham, Old Rep, Newbury, lovely. Leamington Spa, Horsham, Kettering and Camberley. Where did I come and see you? Was that Camberley?
That might have been Camberley, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Listen, it has been a very great joy. This is lovely. It's a nice size tour and they're nice venues and you'll have an absolute ball. So we wish you the very best
Thank
of luck.
Absolutely. I'm sure you'll go down a storm.
And
Thank you.
We like the look of your husband, by the way. I've had a little Google
and
a little look online.
Well, shall I send him up?
No, no, we don't want that. It'll get a bit, that'd be, you know, appalling for him.
All right.
But he has our approval.
Oh, thank you.
Phew.
Got there in the end, eh?
Yes, well
God
done.
Loves a trier.
And love to the kids.
Thank you.
All Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.